Amen. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight, and I'm glad that Nicole didn't chase all of you away, didn't scare you and think, hey, I shouldn't go tonight because it's going to be bad. Well, I'm glad that the Lord gave us a chance to be here in this conference, because the conference is to get stirred up, to get encouraged, to get our focus once again readjusted. Sometimes, I don't know if you ever had a camera that you use where it got out. I had a scope one time that got really out of whack. And I was shooting, I think somebody hit it, and I was shooting 2 inches down and a couple inches over. I knew I missed that buck. But I really haven't had a chance to go deer hunting since then. But I'm glad that the Lord's given us a chance to refocus. And if we don't get our focus straight, we're going to miss the mark. You can be just one little bitty degree off, a couple millimeters, and you'd be surprised how far that is off in the long run. I mean, there's so many people that think their religion is just good enough and just about the right one, but there ain't one that's going to get the mark. Amen. Well, I want to make a couple mentions before I get into the slide thing we've got. It's kind of like a slideshow, the old timers, but I love to be able to talk to it if I can. And I just want to do that because I want you to think about Ukraine's in a war right now, and it's terrible. There's never been a good war, I don't think, in the earth. But I want you to think about tonight, what I'm going to be preaching about is that we're in a spiritual warfare too. God's raging war against the devil, because the devil's resisting him and fighting him to try to keep souls going to hell. And so Ukraine's in a war right now, and that war has had terrible, devastating effects, but it has had one great plus effect, positive effect. What would you think that would be? We have a Russian saying that says, when you're in trouble, Ukrainians mainly say it, when you're in trouble, then you look to God. Without that trouble, he's a very present help in time of trouble. But sometimes we don't seek him till the trouble hits. And that's why, this war might be the reason that more and more Ukrainians will be saved than ever before. And this year, I don't want to say positive things about Putin, but I do want to say God's using it. Amen. God used Nebuchadnezzar in years past. God used many bad situations. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 1:12, he says, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Sometimes we need to see what God's doing that's making the gospel spread. And I'm glad that this opportunity for the gospel to spread has actually been a great opportunity for Ukraine. Many people think, well, Ukraine's just a little bitty country over there. It is. And it only got the gospel in most places 100 years ago. But I'll tell you what, I've been in some really great churches that have been established 100 years. They got started, I met some people in January whose their father was here in America, bought a Bible and took it back over there in 1922. And it was printed in 1921, that Bible, in New York. A Russian Bible, took it over there, and God's used those Bibles to get churches started. So being behind a ministry like Brother Lamont's is actually a great ministry. He's actually been supplying a lot of the New Testaments that are being used over there right now. And I'll tell you, the churches have gotten more active than they've ever been, because now they have more of an opportunity. People are willing and wanting to listen and wanting literature, whereas before they might have said no. Now they say, give it to me. It's just amazing the change, because of the fact that, like they say, there's no atheists in a foxhole. And there's no none of them over there are saying, I don't believe that, they all want help from above. They want somebody to help them. And most of them, even this one atheist, said, I'm amazed. He said, I wrote a book that I'm a profound atheist, but he said, somebody up there has been helping us. And even he's getting his eyes open, and many others have. Thank you, Lord, for that. If you would, brother, go ahead and turn on the slides. That's that thing. I'm just glad we have the opportunity. I thought something's ecstatic is going on. I thought something was electrically going wrong. The last church I was at, they didn't dim the lights much, but I'm glad your preacher does that, and it really didn't turn out very good. But I'm thankful that the Lord gave us a chance. This thing should work. Okay, to be able to be here. My wife's with me, Oksana. We have Elizabeth and David, and I'm thankful for both of them. Elizabeth studying counseling to be able to work with children that go through trauma, and David is actually studying to be a welder. And we're thankful that he's finishing up high school this year. The Lord sent me back in 1992 to visit Ukraine. 93, I moved in, and we looked for where, and God put us in this town called Lakeside, where we started and established Lakeside Baptist Church. And we're thankful now the Lord provided us with a very good pastor, Brother Slavik, and we're thankful God blessed. He's got a great heart. I sometimes say he does better than myself, but we ordained him, and we're thankful the church has been growing even with this war going on. He baptized this year 5 people, and we're thankful that God's blessing and helping the church. Even a lot of people that have come once 20, 30 years ago are now coming out to hear the word again. But God's using him. They print these magnetic scripture signs, and we have one of them that's mounted actually in an ambulance, a military ambulance, right above the patient. It says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." We're thankful that God's used those all over the country. We also print up and make our own little packets of 10,000 calendars and ship those out, pass those out all everywhere every year. We're thankful that God's blessed us with many Bibles we've been able to send out over the years. We've had a huge correspondence ministry, and people provide us with literature, and then we send it out. But we also do a big printing ministry, which has grown this year more than ever before. We typically did 200,000 tracts and things, and these are testimonial tracts. But this year, we've actually printed, with the help of another missionary, over 1.5 million. And we're thankful. This is one of the brothers who passed them out on the street. This fellow here is taking literature and going out evangelizing. There's many brothers like that, taking the word all over the country. We're thankful that we had a Bible Institute that produced some really good graduates. And we're thankful for this brother who's working about 2 hours north of us. He's got a church there established, Brother Nick. And he's doing very well. His church is actually growing immensely. He's even got some gypsies that have gotten saved there. This brother, Sergey, and his wife actually got pinned over in Moldova during COVID. And they've been working over there with refugees. Also, we're thankful that Brother Eugene, he's our missionary we sent out 15 years ago into Siberia. And he's in this country, this area called Altai, which is just above Mongolia. And the Lord's been working with him to establish a church there. But I was sent out a few years ago from that church as a missionary evangelist. And I go out now to train other churches and help them, because most of the churches there really never got the understanding of how to really soul win and really reach out like they could. And so I go to big churches like this. It's over 250 people. I teach them different ways to present the gospel. This is called the Three Circles. And it's a great way to be able to present the gospel and show them that Christ is the only thing that can restore us. The last Adam brought us back to God. Thankful that testimonial tracts that we print up actually show them how they can use their own testimony. There's some of these on the back table if you'd like to take them. And we have these in Ukrainian and Russian. We also have some of them back there in English. We're thankful that the gospel presentation that I use using the EvangiCard or EvangiCube is actually a very good tool there. And I've seen many, many people understand the gospel more clearly by actually being able to follow it with their eyes and with their ears and be able to understand it much more clearly. I actually had a man get saved, 92-year-old man got saved in Mariupol on that last slide. Just thankful that God uses this. In a large crowd, you can use a larger version of it, and people follow you and listen to you and don't interrupt you with foolish questions. But I'm thankful that I get to go out and teach people and train them one-on-one in these different villages and show them how to actually go out and evangelize, knock on doors. And we're thankful that the young men learn how to present the gospel and explain it to others. Many souls we see along the way when we go, and people have been praying for them. This lady got saved. She was the pastor's neighbor, and he asked me to go and visit with her. And this was another lady that had been coming to a Bible study they were having, and she got saved the day we went and visited her. This lady here, her nephew wanted to see her get saved, and he had us drive 3 hours out of the way to her house. She'd had a stroke, and we're thankful, Lord, she got saved before she passed on. Grateful that God sent us to this little, actually, I can't call it a town. It's a logging area, and this family lives at the end of this logging section 15 miles off the road. And that day, those two ladies got saved, and the fellow there with no arm in the front, he actually listened very intensely. Well, this is the situation we're dealing with. The wars and fightings that we're dealing with are because Russia wants to take control and keep control over that part that used to be part of its Soviet Union. They also are doing, have done this for years. They have the little piece of Moldova up there, a couple pieces of Georgia and Azerbaijan. Those are all under Russian control. And Russia's now invaded from the north, and then they realize they spread themselves too thin, so they've moved over to the east, trying to take from the east and the south the rest of the country. We're just thankful that God has protected Ukraine and helped them to fight them off and push them back in a lot of places. And we're grateful that God's thus far kept them from getting into the city, far over from the, to take the whole, the ports, where they want to take the port city of Odessa. This is part of Odessa. This is one of the buildings that they did blow up. This is another city. I don't know exactly which one, but you can see what it turns into when they do their bombings. This town here, they blew the middle of that building up, where people lived there. And it just created such despair in the whole country that the people are, many have fled. Many have decided, well, we have to move out. There's 14 million people that got displaced. And they're somewhere in the western part of Ukraine living with other people. And 6 million have fled the country into other countries. And some are here in the States, but not that many, and in Canada. Most of them have gone to Poland, Germany, and places like that. We're thankful that we can go and actually supply the need that they have, because many of them left with nothing, what was on their back. Many of them are just women and children, because their husband is still draft age, so he has to stay in the country. If you're 16 to 60, you can't get out of the country unless you have 3 children. But we went over right away to try to help and started printing literature outside in Romania and in Bulgaria. And we're thankful. This is one of our favorite tracks, The Way to Happiness. And these are some of our chick tracks that we print. We've just been printing tons of those now. And we're thankful over 300,000 have been printed this year. And we're actually working on 50,000 right now for the military. But this is a little booklet we put together about how God is silent in this time, even hasn't stopped Putin, because he's using this to work towards salvation. Well, our main goal has been to actually be a supply station and be able to help all these people that want to actually reach out, supply them with literature so they'd be able to have something to give to them. And we're thankful that God's blessed and given us the chance to be able to send out and pass out literature all over in Europe, because there's so many of these refugees all over. The countries over there on the right were some of the people that wrote to me and asked me, please send us literature because we don't have anything to reach them with. And we're just grateful that ministry reached out this summer. Oksana and I were able to fill up our vehicle a couple times and send it out all over Europe to different churches that were doing camps for children, for refugee children, and also to missionaries that were in different places that wanted to reach out. There's many Ukrainians coming out of Ukraine in the past on these buses, but now there's been a lot of them going back in. And the sad thing is, right now they're going to be fleeing again as they've been being bombed again. But missionaries in Bulgaria and other places have been very faithful to reach out and do the best they could. They've been putting tracts in different care packages and passing them out. We're thankful for that. This is actually some of these are from Brother Isaac's family. We're thankful that God's using them over there. And we're thankful for the outreach that they do. They've been reaching into these refugee centers, and actually established one of the centers, and it's been a great opportunity to give aid, but also that's opened up doors for the gospel. I was able to present the gospel to young and old using that evangel card and be able to explain to them how Christ died for them so they could hear and understand the full gospel. Just grateful that God's using the missionaries to be able to be a blessing and show God's goodness, because the goodness of God's what leads people to repentance. My wife was able to counsel with a lot of refugees that are over there in Poland. We made a special trip a couple times there into Poland, and we're thankful that God's been able to work. We just had a lady get saved 3 weeks ago that she'd been, said she'd never heard the gospel. Nobody ever told her, and we were thinking her daughter was listening really well, but she was the one that started bawling and asking the Lord to save her. Just grateful God's working in hearts and reaching out. This is some of the churches reaching out to get the gospel out there. And we're thankful that people are now finally seeking the Lord through the Word of God. Pray that God would work through His written Word and save souls. There are souls getting saved, but we want to see a great harvest. This is the more the better, of course. We know that for eternity. But we're thankful that there is a great army over there. This is just part of these are the ones I know. And these guys are out there faithfully, many of them serving and working to get the gospel out. But what about you? Are you doing what you can? Are you participating in missions like you should? The fellow there in the middle, his name is Michael. He and I have been working together for the last 6 years as I went out as an evangelist. And he's now been using a vehicle of my friends, going, taking food in and products in, but then bringing people back out. And we're thankful that he's able to transport these people out to safety. And a lot of these refugees then receive the gospel as they come out because they give out tracts and New Testaments. Thankful also that the Lord's using fellows like this brother Eugene on the left. He's a pastor, and he's been supplying other pastors and other churches with supplies that they could use as an evangelistic tool. He's all the way up in the north where they were bombed and invaded at the very beginning, and they destroyed many of the roads so they couldn't get things in there. He was able to bring in 200,000 tons of produce to be able to use that in different areas as they did many evangelizations. Different areas, different towns. They even started a church in a new town. We're thankful that they're able to use this as Christian aid instead of just humanitarian aid, so they give Christ and God the glory. This old lady was glad somebody visited her and gave her some aid plus a New Testament. This is a fellow that's up in the northern part of the country. Thankful for Brother Peter and his son there, who goes out to Germany and other countries and brings in aid because they were invaded and their big bridge that supplied all their area was bombed, so they have to bring it in light vehicles. And her whole neighborhood came to them because they were all without power. And he actually was able to fix food and feed the neighborhood. Now that those people that said, "We'd never come to your church," are coming faithfully. But we're thankful that God's used, even though they got bombed, they were able to, after they got missile blown, they were able to meet in the basement of their church with no power at the beginning. And then now they're faithfully meeting in their services. And all the empty spots where people had left to go to safety in other countries are now filled by lost people. This is my brother-in-law, Slavik. He's been able to actually supply some different vehicles for the military. Plus, he does a lot of work of taking in aid to people that are stuck right along the front lines and then bringing out refugees. But he's also got a great ministry of doing camps. They did some camps in the summer in Bulgaria or in Romania, and my daughter and my son were actually helping there. This is actually a camp that was done in Ukraine in a town that I visited in January. We evangelized, and it's the first time those kids ever heard the gospel. This little boy here is an advertisement for us from CNN about how Chick Tracts do work. He was reading a Chick Tract, and CNN got it on the news, and we're thankful for that. Pray for Ukraine, please, for the country. This war might end, but God would work and there will be many souls get saved. I want you to think about it. How many of us are pointing, and how many people are we pointing to get across that bridge to find the way, the truth, and the life? There's only one way to reach them, and that's to show compassion. That's to actually care enough to go forth and take that precious word, weeping, with a broken heart, knowing where they're going to go and knowing that God saved you from it, should break our hearts and should give us thankful hearts. We should want to tell them the truth. Amen? It saved us. And if God could use it to save a soul like me, I know he can do wonders for those people that hear and believe the gospel. I'm thankful that I get to preach at you tonight, but not to preach at you. God, I went through so many messages today, and God said, "Nope, nope, 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 nope." So I had to put together a new one. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I had enough time because of this hurricane to be able to do that. But I'm thankful that God's got us here, what for? To get a different perspective. Turn with me to Isaiah 51 and verse 6. This will just be just a second, because God wants us to have a different perspective than we do many times. Many times our eyes are focused on what we see and what we hear. I know if you watch the news, they tell you what you want. They want you to hear. But Isaiah 51 verse 6, God tells us what he wants to see and where he wants us to see it from. We often have the perspective that is very temporal, because we see the things that are seen, the Bible says, are temporal, but the things that aren't seen are eternal. So we need to set our affections on things above. And Colossians, of course, tells us that if we're risen with Christ, we need to put our affections on things above. But here in verse 6, he says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens." Oh, great. Look up to the hills where our salvation's coming from. But no, he says, lift them up here and then look down on the earth. Get a different viewpoint and look upon the earth beneath. And if you read down through the whole context, it's talking about the earth's going to pass and everything's going to perish. But salvation, God's salvation is eternal. And God wants us to get our eyes on what's important down here. And it's not what kind of car you drive. It's not what kind of house you live in. And it's not what kind of food you're going to eat. He said all those things care about not just the Christians, but the lost people. And that's why he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things that you need will be added unto you." Amen? But let's seek what? His kingdom, his righteousness. Let's seek to do his will. Reading through John chapter 4, I realized that the apostles had that problem too at the beginning when they were just learning from the Lord. And they really, like most of us, saw those around them as an opportunity to get some food or get something from them. We often see people that way. You know, this is somebody I can, you know, make a client of mine. But we need to see them as souls that need salvation. They went into the town of Sychar, whatever you call it, however you pronounce it, and they came back with food. But that's all they came back with. And Jesus said, I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men had already labored there. I mean, do you remember that woman at the well? She was ready. I mean, she already understood that the Messiah was going to come, and she knew a lot about him because somebody had already been laboring in Sychar. Somebody had already been had sown the seed. We find ourselves as missionaries that we're often just sowing the seed, because oftentimes Ukrainians have no understanding when you first meet them, first deal with them, try to get the gospel in their hearts so that they can understand that it's not salvation through orthodoxy, which is basically the Russian Orthodox Church is a lot like the Catholic Church, and that's what they've been taught will give them salvation, and they believe they can't change their faith. And because that's the biggest sin you could ever do. That's what the church teaches them. So we have to deal with them from the respect of calling them to Christ, not to the Baptist church. The Baptist church hasn't saved anybody yet, has it? We call them to the Savior. He said, bring that kid unto me. And he cast the devil out. I mean, it takes his power and it takes him to save them. So we have to actually sow the seed and give them the gospel so they'll understand what salvation's about. And usually the first times, they're not ready to get saved. But somebody has to do that labor. So then somebody else can come in there and reap. We were blessed to see this lady, Nadia. She said, nobody ever explained this to me. Nobody ever told me I needed to ask God for forgiveness. But God blessed, and she had an open heart, and she just started bawling and asking the Lord to save her. It's a blessing. I mean, I've had many opportunities in Ukraine since I became an evangelist. They actually asked me to go on visits all the time, soul winning visits, and teach them how to do it, how to present the gospel. And those places where I'm going often, there will be souls that somebody's been praying for. I believe prayer is one of the best things to get that harvest ready, get that soil ready, so that that seed can fall on good ground. He said, break up the fallow ground and get the thorns out of there. Oftentimes we're trying to sow the seed, but the ground has never been plowed. And if you don't break up that ground, I mean, the thorns are growing right there, or the rocks are already there. And it's not going to be the fruitful ground that we want to see from Mark chapter 4. We want to see the fruitful ground that's going to bring 30, 60, and 100-fold. But, you know, we're sowing in the wrong place. We've got to pray that God to get rid of that. And often we want God to save somebody, but we even pray, I think I've prayed this before, you know, Lord, send somebody to my brother. But the question is, if you're going to pray that way, are you somebody that's going to go to somebody else's brother? Are you the one that's willing to go to them, or you just want somebody else to go to yours? We're so, so carnal, so selfish. We need to think his way. That's why we got to get our perspective adjusted. Look down on the earth from the Lord's perspective. What's he doing up there? Is he just sitting up there waiting for us to ask him for something new, something else? Or is he up there waiting to see some souls that we bring to Christ so they can get saved? Amen. He said, Christ is sitting right there at his right hand, able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. He's just waiting. And the Father's waiting patiently. I mean, he waited patiently for me 20 years. And I'm thankful he saved me out of Catholicism. And it was not an easy thing, because I got myself messed up in this world, even believed evolution for a little while. But he sent even a great theologian, Henry Morris, up there to debate with my professors at Purdue to change my mentality and help me see that God definitely is the creator and get me on the right path right away. When I got saved, I said, I got to skip that college right now. I got to get in Bible Institute and learn about the creator instead of this fouled up perspective of evolution where the creation is neglected. And I'm so thankful that God put us down here on this earth to fight this spiritual battle. Are we actively engaging? This battle is not just a little battle. I mean, this is a battle raging for the souls of men. And if you look from his perspective, he knows everything. He knows each person and where they are, and he knows where to send each one of us soldiers to fight and to labor and to reach whom. I mean, as a soldier, we need to think about, let's go ahead and read this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to start with verse 1 and a couple of these verses here, 1 through 4. But I want you to think about the fact that God takes all of his sons and daughters and tells us to get stronger. Get strong and get strong in his strength, not in your own, because you can't accomplish anything on your own. Like Jesus said, without me, you can do how much? Nothing. So we definitely need him, and we need to be strong in him. He says, thou therefore, my son, I'd say this, my daughters too, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul was talking to Timothy because he was his son. He actually won him to the Lord. But I'd say that each one of our converts, we need to teach him, hey, you know, I'm thankful that you're my child. God, through you, brought you to the gospel. But, you know, you're God's son now, and God's got a purpose higher than anything I could come up with. God's got a purpose for each of our lives, and he wants to make each one of us into a great soldier that can serve him. I believe that sometimes the older we get, we even discount ourselves and say, well, I can't do much. I'm getting more feeble. I would say this. I think the older people can have a bigger influence than the younger ones, especially on the older generation. I've had so many older people say, well, son, what are you trying to tell me? You know, looking down at me because I'm not as mature as they are. And I'd say that we often think, well, I can't do much because I'm getting old. No. You can be fruitful even in old age, what the Bible teaches. And we could be so much more fruitful. I was really hoping my mom would get a hold of that, but she ended up with cancer and they got worse and worse. But she's still alive, but she never really got a hold of the fact that she could be the one that actually could help a lot of those neighbors she had that were older to listen to the gospel. I would give them tracts, but that wouldn't be much of an effect because they wouldn't look at me as an equal that they could relate to or think that I'd had the experience they had. I know they're not supposed to neglect our youth, but that's about the Christians. I think a lot of older people think, oh, what do you know? You haven't been in my shoes. You haven't lived this long. In reality, we still need to be given the gospel either way. But, you know, we need to be the ones that think, hey, God, how would you want to use me? I'm in this battle. My pastor said there is no, like it says in the Old Testament, there is no retreat in this war. There is no end of the war. The war ends when you go home. When God calls you home, and then you're finished. You're retired. But, I mean, we retire sometimes early. And we think, well, you know, God can't use me anymore. Oh, I know a lady who said, well, I can't really do anything. I'm in this wheelchair. And then somebody said, well, you could actually, you know, God could still use you. And she would write little notes, put verses of scripture on them, and throw them out the window. Might call it littering, but God used those notes. And some people got messages from above. They're wondering where it came from, but God used it. I mean, don't think God can't use you. I mean, I think the opportunity has been ruined by all the spammers that you can't really call somebody and just try to present the gospel to them. But if you get a spam call, you can actually talk to them and give them the gospel. I mean, that's a thing that people are suggesting nowadays, and they'll certainly hang up faster that way. But I think we could. I have a friend who's actually said he's led a few of them to the Lord. It's possible. With God, all things are possible. Amen? I bet they probably didn't record those. They turned off the recorder when they didn't want to be caught listening. But anyway, I think we need to realize that God has a lot of ways we can actually reach people. We just have to quit saying, I can't. Because he can through you. He said he is able to do a little bit more. No, exceeding abundantly. Above all that we could ask or think. How much more is that? Probably a few hundred times more than we actually can imagine. We think, well, you know, God could do so much more if he just had this heart. If he just had us available. I mean, really, we spend so much time taking care of us. How much time do we spend serving him? How much time is at his disposal? It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, It's so comfortable to sit in the Lazy Boy or sit on a couch and turn on the boob tube. I'm glad that I don't even have an opportunity to do that with our, we didn't set up any cable and all that stuff, so we wouldn't have that all the time at home. Because there's not enough time in the day for what we got to do as it is, let alone to sit there and, you know, spend it all, just spend it, and let it fly by. Anyway, the opportunities God's given us as soldiers are amazing. Look at this. He says in verse 3, thou therefore, because you're called to be a soldier, he said, endure hardness. Oh, that's going to hurt. That's boot camp, isn't it? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said we're supposed to be good soldiers. Verse 2 said we're supposed to be faithful disciples. But verse 3 says we're supposed to be good soldiers out there fighting the battle. Soldiers of Jesus Christ. That means he's our commander, right? And do we care what he thinks? Do we care? We should. Verse 4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him, Jesus Christ, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God saved you. God chose you. He said, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask, it shall be done. I mean, God wants to use us. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to work. I mean, where else is he going to manifest himself? I mean, God does the lightning and the thunder, but people already think that's just all nature, Mother Nature. They don't see God in that. They got to see God in us. That's what he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. They got to see God working in you. He said he put this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. But God, if God doesn't work through us and people don't see him working in us, where are they going to see him? I mean, literally, people want to see God. They want to see something that gives them opportunity to really believe and have real faith. But if they see God working in us, then they believe, well, you're a real Christian. Maybe I should listen to what you have to say. I want people to listen to what I have to say, and I want it to be because not I'm some authority, but I want them to see that God's actually given me something. God's actually done something for me, that God's actually changed my life. We have some gospel tracts back there. I told you about a couple of them in the slide presentation. But that's our main ministry over there, is actually printing testimonial tracts. Because in John chapter 4, that woman at the well that got saved, she went back and told that village where the apostles had just been and didn't see a single soul that needed to be saved. They came back to Jesus and trying to get him to eat. And he says, I've got a lot better things to do than this. I've got meat that you have no idea of. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. He was here to do the will of God. Are we here for what? The food? Or to do the will of God? I know I'm going to enjoy the meal tomorrow night, but I don't want to forget the will of God with all that. The night I was like, well, should we go get another piece of chicken? Well, it's probably better we don't. Preach better without it. So, and keep the belly a little trimmer too. It's nice to enjoy all those things, but we don't want to be those evil beasts and slow bellies, do we? That just down here, the Grecians are always, you know, just, that's all they're after. We want to be those that are after his will, after souls. No? I mean, what's a soldier fighting for? We're fighting to win, right? To win some souls. Amen? That's what we're here for. That's what Proverbs 11:30 says. Now, think about it. If you're a good soldier, that means you're going to be looking, hey, I shouldn't be doing this because I don't have time for that. That's not a thing that God wants me to do because it's going to take up and eat up all my time. I don't need this thing that takes all my time. I mean, you can go down the list and look at all the things we have. Things we have. So many of us have a garage, but it's not for a car anymore, is it? It's too full of all the things that we think we need. There was a guy who was doing counseling, financial counseling. He said, he's looking at the guy's bills. He said, you know what? That storage compartment you've got with all that stuff in it that you've been paying so much money for each, he said, you know, you've already paid for that couch 5 times. You could have bought yourself a new one when you do need it, finally. I mean, we have all these things, but we think we got to have them, and they eat up our time too if we got too many of them, especially the toys. But anyway, let's look at what he said there in Ephesians chapter 6 about this soldier, what he's got to put on and why he needs to put it on there. You all know this. I know it's old news to most of you that you've been in this battle, and many of you, I hope, put this on every day. I know sometimes I forget to put it on, and then I realize that I should have put it on, because then I see my time just fading away because I really wasn't sober and vigilant and diligently fighting and resisting the devil. I wasn't actually ready for the battle, ready for the fight. Verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. There, over there he said, son, be strong in the Lord and in his grace. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want to emphasize right here, just like Zechariah said, he said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I mean, amen. Zechariah 4:6, he wanted us to realize that his spirit is the power that he uses to work and change things in this world. It's not by the number, it's not by the might of the army, it's by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. And he said, you've got that spirit already working in you. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. If you're filled with the Spirit's power will work in you.
Yeah, good.
If there's no filling, there won't be enough power.
Yeah.
So we got to be filled. We got to be serious about being filled with the Spirit. I mean, don't be drunken with wine, but be filled. It's a command. Be not drunken, but be filled. It's an opposite. You know why? Because drunkenness, it takes control of you. It takes complete control, changes the way you walk and talk. Being filled with the Spirit takes complete control of you too. And it changes the way you walk and talk and the things you do. Amen? There's a great parallel there. I'm not going to get into it all, but we need to realize he's got to have control. If we don't have control, we're going to be walking in what? This flesh. And he says, the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so that you cannot do the thing that you would. We want to do lots of things, but God says, no, that isn't my will. That's your desire. But my will is that you do this. And we got to be asking, Lord, what would you have me to do? Remember Paul? He got saved. The first thing he asked is, what do you want me to do? He was the only that I see in the Bible that God didn't have to, you know, fix him over. God just had to point him in the right direction. Because he was so zealous, he wanted to fulfill God's will. He just said, hey, I need you to go over there. And he just started going after those 3 days. Got his eyes opened up and he just started going. And they were just amazed how here he was destroying the faith that he's now preaching. I mean, God just turned him around and got him pointed the right direction. He just kept on going till the end. And he finished his course. And if we want to finish our course having joy along the way, we need to get serious. Otherwise, we're going to have lots of what? Regrets. I have regrets here and there. I mean, I have some things that I really regret, and I wish I didn't have them. I have regrets about what I did before I got saved, but I have some regrets as a Christian when I wasn't serious, when I wasn't prayed up, when I didn't put on the whole armor of God. And that's a serious challenged each one of us to put on, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not. We're in a battle here, wrestling, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. This is how we should be standing. Loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, if he said he wants us to stand, He doesn't want us to just stand in one place. Otherwise, he wouldn't tell us what kind of boots we got to have on. A soldier's got boots on so he can take marching orders and go where he's supposed to go. You saw that, right? What kind of boots do you have to have? I was in a church, and that guy, the pastor, thinks New Balances are the best shoes you got to have. But I said, well, I've got New Balances, but that's not what I need. I need feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Think about this. We're in a battle. We're fighting a battle. And yet we're telling them what? The gospel of peace. We're telling them how they can get peace in the middle of this battle. We're telling them how that they're at enmity with God, but God wants to give them peace. God wants them to be at peace with Him. That's a great privilege. We can actually tell those sinners that are out there that they're under the wrath of God. He said, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. But we have the gospel of peace that takes away that wrath. We have the opportunity to help that enemy become God's friend. Help that enemy that's out there loving this world to love the Father finally. And finally know the love of the Father. And know Him as His Father. Isn't that a great opportunity? Isn't that a great privilege? Are we taking those privileges seriously? I mean, in John 4, Jesus said, I sent you to reap. Now sometimes somebody else had already prepared that field, so they should have been able to go out there and reap those souls. But there's a lot of times when you come and the field is not at all sown. You can't dig potatoes if nobody planted them. So somebody's got to get in there and sow the seed. That's what we find ourselves doing in Ukraine. But once in a while, you find those souls that are already ready. And we keep praying for God to prepare more and more. And as we find them, God blesses and God saves them. But you know what? We as Christians need to get our perspective like He said. Lift up your eyes and look down. Remember Jesus told him in John 4, he said, lift up your eyes. He said, don't tell me that field's going to be ready in 4 months for harvest. And it probably would have been. It probably wasn't very tall. It wasn't, the wheat wasn't ready. And the disciple says, 4 months. He says, no. Because he saw what was spiritually happening. They saw what was physically happening. If we can have spiritual eyes and see those souls out there. He said, look, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white or ready to harvest. At that moment, I can't say it from the scriptures, but I'm 99% sure that he was pointing at that spiritual harvest that was all that whole city coming out to talk to him, coming out to hear from him. They asked him to stay 2 more days. And that many of them said, we got saved because of the testimony of that woman. And then others said, we got saved because we heard him ourselves. But you know what? How many of them haven't heard our testimony? And if they haven't heard our testimony, how are they going to get to him? I'll tell you, we might take it lightly when visitors come to our church. But I came into a Baptist church. Being a Catholic, that was a sin. I should never have come to a Baptist church, but I came because I'd gotten disappointed, discouraged with the priest, and my then girlfriend's mother had some connections with some good Southern Baptists that actually were helping her get saved. She got saved. And through them, I started seeking to go to a Baptist church to find the truth. Besides Henry Morris, it said, I'm going to go to such and such Baptist church, and tomorrow I'll use the Bible to prove creation, whereas he was using evolution or science to fight evolution at the debate. But I'll tell you what, when I went to that Baptist church, it was great. It was helpful. I didn't get saved right away. But when I got to my home church where the people really cared, where the people really concerned, they were all mostly former Catholics. And they all realized this young Catholic needs to hear the same gospel that I understood. And they told me, four brothers, about a month long, each Sunday, somebody between Sunday school and preaching hour would tell me their testimony. And God saved me on a Thursday night at home because I understood. He said, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. I called on the Lord at home because I already understood it from those brothers. So your testimony is what people need to hear. And he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Ye shall be endued with power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Both both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. Don't think you're doing everything if you're doing something. He said both places, and he gave four places. So God's got a lot of places for us to labor. He wants us to not be content doing just this, but he's got a lot of things for us. He wants us to be here and there, doing the best we can. And that's why we ask you to pray for us as missionaries, so you can be laboring with us on the field, wherever we be. Wherever you have missionaries, that you read their prayer letter, they ask you to pray for something, pray for it. Pray for those souls in that country, that God would give fruit that will abound to your account right here. You're not there, but God, you're doing the witnessing there as well as here. Amen? Let's get serious. I mean, we're here to fulfill his will, right? How many of you know that Matthew 28 is the end of the chapter with what's called the Great Commission? You've all heard that, right? No? Oh, boy. I don't know if I'm seeing yeses or noes. I don't hear any amens. Oh, I'm listening to the wrong thing. Think about it. What is a commission? God wants us to get serious. He's got a commission for us soldiers. I'm going to give you a couple things here about a commission. As a verb, a commission is to bring into readiness for active service. God wants us to be ready to serve him actively. We're not on reserves. We're in active duty.
Amen.
Always ready. There's actually, the Coast Guard has a thing called semper paratus, means always prepared. They're always ready to get out there. I watched some things called The Way of the Master. They said, you know, everybody says, comes up with excuses why they can't do this or that. And a lot of people say, well, he puts on his pants just like everybody else. Well, the firemen don't. The firemen jump right into both legs at the same time because they're in a hurry to get out there and rescue the perishing. They're in a hurry to get out there to that fire. So they jump into both legs at the same time to get their gear on. And we need to get a little more serious about the tempo, the temp that we're doing. And because we're here as those that are commissioned by him. He gave that great commission. He said, all power is given unto me both in heaven and in earth. And he said, go ye therefore, because I've got that power to tell you what to do. He didn't just joke with them. He told them, he commanded them. And that's who? That's our Lord, who saved us and bought us with his precious blood, bought us with that price. The price of our salvation was his life for ours. And if we aren't willing right now to give our life for him so he can use us the fullest of his ability, why not? Why have we retired ourselves or just gotten comfy and decided, I'm doing enough? When we could be doing so much more, because we could let him do so much more through us. It's not us anyway. That's why he said, I'm going with you. You know, he sent them out two by two into every place where he himself wanted to go. Why? He wanted to talk to those people, but he couldn't go everywhere then. But now he can go everywhere. Everywhere he's got you and me. He's got a vessel that he can go and talk to those people. He can go and help those people. He can see their needs. Supply their needs. You and I are God's eyes, God's hands, God's feet. Get the shoes on. Get the boots on. Let's get shod with the gospel of peace and get out there and give it to people. When you're commissioned, you're called into ready service. When you're commissioned, it's actually to a point and to a rank. Remember, God made us ambassadors. Amen. He gave us the blessed privilege to be the ones down here who can tell them how to get there. And we're not supposed to reject people from getting visas. We're actually the ones down here telling them how they can all get there if they want to. We have a blessed privilege. Are we using it? Are we doing it? Think about it, a commission as a noun. It's an amount of money that they pay somebody to do something. If you're like a realtor, you get a commission off selling the house for somebody. But think about it. God's going to give us a reward for serving him. We don't deserve it, do we? But he said he's going to reward us for our service, for our labor. Every man shall receive according to his own labor. Think about the fact that what is a, as a noun, it's a group of people that are officially charged. He's the commanding officer, right? And he told us not to get entangled in this world so we could please him and fulfill his will and fulfill his commands. And he said, I want you to get out there and tell all nations. He said, I want you to take the gospel to every person. And we can do that if we get realize, hey, he had the power and he told me to go. He said, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. So what are we waiting for? Waiting for lightning to strike? We just had a little hurricane. Didn't hit much, did it? A commission is also instruction or command. And he instructed us what he wants us to do. He wasn't mincing words. He was clear as bell. Are we doing it? Are we doing all that we can? Are we doing what he's commanded us? If we're not, I think we're going to be embarrassed. 2 Corinthians 5, very good chapter. I'd recommend it as good homework because it really opens your eyes to what God said. We're going to stand before him and we're going to be either embarrassed or tickled to death that we were able to bring these souls, lay down these sheaves at his feet. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, he shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. There will be a result of the labor that God does through you because it's his plan, his desire to see more children be born. It's his desire to see people get saved and become part of his family. He's the one that's rejoicing up there when there's joy in the presence of the angels. God's rejoicing whenever a soul repents and gets saved. I mean, do you want to make him happy? Amen. Amen. Let's do it. Oh, no, we're not here for that, are we? Yes, we are. We sometimes forget. And we don't look at that field as a harvest field. We look at it as a place we can go out there and work and get a job, get money, get a nice car. No, it's a harvest field. If there's no seed been planted, sow it. If there's seed been planted, reap it. Bring those sheaves in. Amen. Amen. Brother, I'll let you do the invitation. I don't want to
stand to our feet tonight as the musicians come. It's a good message for us. Have you entangled yourself with the things of the world? Are you entangled to a place where you can't serve or can't give? What is it that God spoke to your heart to about tonight? Maybe it's just about the way you give the gospel. He mentioned the storm. You know, it just passed by and not much changed, did it? Well, I want to come in and be able to give the gospel and things change. Most of the world has been plowed. It's ready for seed. Will we take it to them? Will we send it to them? As Brother Bert sings, you come and do what God asks you to do tonight.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, you came in, someone invited you to church, you don't know for sure if you died tonight that you'd be, heaven would be your home, you spend eternity there, that you would have the gift of eternal life. Well, we'd love to take the Bible and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. If you just step out, the invitation is for you tonight to step out and walk down an old-fashioned aisle, and we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. As Brother Bert sings, we'll give you opportunity to step out and come.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender.
Good message for us tonight, wasn't it? We'll let the missionaries head back to their table tonight. Let me just say this. My brother was preaching. I thought, what a blessing. You know, in the battle and just being in the war, you know, flesh against the spirit out there in everyday life. You know, when people see you on the battlefield and see you standing in peace, something that they desperately are looking for, when your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and every opportunity you get, rather than warring with them back about the things of this world and how nasty the place is, it just seems like you're at peace. You know, the world's looking for that. You know, sometimes people can't look past maybe the breastplate of Pharisaicalism instead of the breastplate of righteousness and see the preparation of the gospel of peace on our feet. Folks, I tell you, we talk about it all the time, but I thought tonight, you know, we talk about hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant. But I, you know, tonight, he said a good soldier. You know, I know some of these men, and the one that lost his life this week in Iraq, I believe he may hear, well done, my good and faithful soldier. Yeah. Amen. Let's pray together tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to meet in your house, Lord, to be encouraged from your word. I pray that you'd be with our missionaries tonight, Lord. Help our folks to spend time with them, Lord. I know that you saved us and spared us from what could have been much worse today. Thank you for your goodness and grace for us to be able to have an opportunity to minister to veterans, Lord, to have an opportunity to be in your house and to hear and to again be revived about the things that you want us to be about in this life. Help us not to entangle ourselves with the things of this world, but to just put the right shoes on, Lord, that people might be able to see the peace of God in us so they might share the gospel with them. We pray that just help us now in Jesus' name. Amen.